anybody.
Oh, well, you can inhale it.
Or,
yeah.
All right, let's, before we go in this morning's scripture, let us go back to the Lord in prayer and prayer illumination. So let's pray. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for being present in our lives. We thank you for all the great things that you do. We ask that you bless this word that we're about to read, as well as the message that we are about to hear. Let it be a nourishment to our spirit and our soul and our hearts where you dwell. Help us to understand what you're trying to tell us. Help us to be cognitive of the fact that you are our Lord and Savior, and we work for you through your will and your will only. We ask all these things now as we read your word. Amen. So our message this morning comes out of Romans. Comes out of Romans 15, and we're going to read the entire passage. It's not too bad, not too long. Let's go. And so this passage out of Romans 15 is entitled Living to Please Others. Now, hang on to this, because we're going to find ourselves in this message here shortly, but this is what it's going to speak on. Living to please others. So this connects us back to last week's service, okay? And I'll help you recap that in a second. So let's go and see what the Lord has to say. If you're following along with me, I'm in the New Living Translation. So if I say it a little different than your Bible, don't worry about it. All right, so on 15, let's begin in verse 1. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others to do what is right and to build them up in the Lord. For even Christ did not live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as it is fitting for followers of Jesus Christ. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given the glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to his promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That it was the psalmist who meant when he said, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." And in other places it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again it's written, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And yet again another place, Isaiah says the following, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope on him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning's message is entitled New Year, New Book. So I want to begin by sharing with you a quick story. This story is personal. Just a few days ago, almost a little over a week ago, this message was inspired by a true friend. He's here with us this morning. He will remain nameless. But I went to help him, and when I left, he had helped me. He has a vast working knowledge of books, as I had the pleasure of seeing his library. I asked him when I went in, "Have you read all of these books?" And he said, "Oh, yes." But I share with you this message this morning. The title and the purpose of this message was truly inspired by our conversation. A man of God, a trusted friend, And so I thank him this morning for the inspiration of this message. So with that said, good morning and welcome back to Bethel. This morning is a special day in the life of a Christian. As you can see before you, sets the Lord's table. As Christians, we refer to this day as Communion Sunday. Without a doubt, this is my favorite service of all, because we are reminded of the immense sacrifice and love displayed by Jesus simply for our personal salvation, not to mention the opportunity that today brings so that you and I can share it together, the invitation to his table to also share his bounty. Many people celebrate or worship in churches that share communion more frequently than we likely do here at Bethel. I think one of the reasons that it's my favorite service is because we do set it aside for special times throughout the year, and the new year is one of those times. It is important that we don't make it redundant in our lives. Too much of it may become standard. Nothing about the table before you, my friends, is standard. So with that said, our message will be short because our greatest responsibility to today is to fellowship around this table. However, don't get too excited. I said our message would be short and brief, but I didn't say there wasn't going to be a message. Since I have you corralled up in here and hopefully have your undivided attention, and you appear to be eager and attentive group of folks on a cold Sunday morning, and you're being fed for lunch, so I'm reminded of that, I'll use my grandfather's statement, let's get it while the getting is good. So here comes the message. Last week I spoke to you about a balanced life, a balanced Christian life, and your service to God in the new year. I shared with you, moving forward in the new year, what our focus and our priorities should be. If you recall, I said, God first and first only to those things such as his blessings, which are our families and our friends. Then I spoke about our duty as a Christian. Whether we were 8 or 80, I believe I said, if our right foot can move in front of our left foot and vice versa, I don't care, and certainly God doesn't care, nor does anybody that you help in service care how young or old you are. We have a duty of service to our Lord and Savior. Last week I also said for you to cast out your personal New Year's resolutions. In fact, I think I said toss them. Toss them away and replace them with what is important. I challenge you to be different this year. Reset your priorities and focus on God first, and all other things, I believe I said, will fall into place. Those are not my words. They are words out of Holy Scripture. Thus, this brings me to today's message before we share in the bounty before us. New year, new book. But before I share in this message, in this portion of it, I also gave you a challenge. I ask you to bring a friend to church, call, email, send a note, postcard, letter, make a contact, cross paths in a grocery store, invite your friends and loved ones to church, worship with you here in the house of God, I think I said. That invitation came from Jesus himself when he told us in Scripture we were to be fishermen of men. That challenge will not stop simply because last Sunday is over. I will repeat this and repeat it frequently throughout the year until we get the initiative down and we start fishing for men and women for Christ. So, back to New Year, new book. As I explained to the children this morning, God has a plan for each of us. And he recognizes that each of us are different, but also very important and special. We too must recognize that we are different, much like the fork, the knife, and the spoon, but yet made of the same material, having the same heart and soul as each other. We have a purpose as Christians. 2023 is a new year, but one you have influence over only if you have a shared relationship with God Almighty. Every book ever made has been bound with the cover containing pages. In those pages of the book, it is broken down by chapters. In the beginning of most every book, you generally find the index, and then you find an introduction. Sometimes there may be a dedication page as well by the author, especially if the book is perhaps co-authored or there's a special credit given for the content of the book, much like my special credit given before this message this morning to my friend who influenced me through our conversation. To my point this morning, this new year is being written by you and God. This is your year. Today you are on the 8th page of your book. You see, your book is entitled Me and God in 2023. It is bound and glued together by your faith in each other. More importantly, it is bound and glued together by the love of Jesus Christ, who came and provided you your salvation. It has an index and an introduction, and that is specific to you and to Him. My introduction and index is separate from yours. Each one of us have a beautiful introduction into our book this year. Sometimes there may be a dedication in our book. I will tell you today that in all of our books entitled Me and God in 2023, there is a dedication page. It is your recognition and acknowledgement of His providence and love over you. For without it, and you will hear again this morning in our communion service, for without Him in your life, you can do nothing. Finally, it has 365 pages and 12 chapters. Its index is incomplete, as it is only into your 8th page as you reside this morning. But it soon will be completed to whatever length God desires. I ask you today, just 8 pages in, what are your plans for the completion of this new book you and God are writing together? But more importantly, I ask you this morning, what have you done in the first 8 pages of your new book that will make it a bestseller connected to God and Jesus Christ? What have you done in the first 8 days of this new year to connect yourselves and your loved ones and your church family and your community together in Jesus Christ? Will it be a bestseller? What I can assure you of this morning is, if your priorities and your focuses are right, like we talked about last week, it certainly has the potential to be the bestseller. Now, based on your age, that's how many books are on your shelves. For me, this is my 50th book. And I can assure you there are a ton behind me that are not bestsellers. But I think, I hope, and I pray that this one will at least compete for a bestseller. And I hope yours will too. Does your book have plans for others? I certainly hope so, because I remind you of what Scripture said this morning. As Christians, we live to please others. And the first goal is to serve and please our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you simply look at Scripture this morning, God wants us to simply show consideration for other people. Nowhere in that Scripture this morning did it say you got to like other people and you have to like what they do or what they represent, but it did say you have to have consideration for them and love them like Jesus loves them. That's a big pill to swallow in this surrounding that we call life. When life comes full circle, I pray and hope in your book of life that you're writing with God. I pray and hope that there are no pages or chapters dedicated to selfishness in this book. I pray that the words leap off of your pages and land on those around you who are experiencing your book of life with you. I hope they describe your willingness to take others into consideration, because that's what God expects of us. You see, bestsellers have chapters full of these types of examples. Not too many bestsellers have examples of selfishness and bad attitudes. Remember, we are followers of Jesus Christ, and He came to serve, and serve He did. So I pray that all 12 chapters of your new book will be about your service to Him in some form or fashion through your personal lives, your careers, your church family, and your community. I also pray your book is filled with love. Love of family, being patient, being kind, being generous, sharing in your joy and peace, and most importantly, your convictions. Remember, the book is co-authored and built on the rock and foundation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This and this alone requires your conviction. Need I remind you, this and this alone requires your conviction and defense in the book market that we're selling our book in currently. Which brings me to the closure of this message. I told you it would be short. In an effort to make your book's introduction special, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help me out. Our worship committee is going to help you out. God's going to help you out. Church is going to help you out. Your family around you is going to help you out. In order to make your introduction special in your first 8 pages of your God and Me 2023, we are going to begin our 8th page this morning on a solid foundation of work. Let's make sure you can share with everyone that we broke bread together at the Lord's table on the 8th page in chapter 1. Let us together seek God's wisdom and ask Him to help us to develop and nurture the attitude of Christ on this 8th page. You came to church this morning with many things on your mind, I'm sure. I don't know what you were thinking when you walked through those doors. I don't know if you knew lunch was being provided and your bellies are growling. I'm not really for sure where your attitudes were this morning. I don't know what you're thinking, but I do ask you this. Scripture teaches us this morning to come with Christ's attitude. I ask you, did you come in the 8th page of your first chapter of 2023 with Christ's attitude this morning? To serve Him as He has served you. You don't have to answer that question out loud, but you certainly have to answer it before the day is done. Again, attitude of Christ is the most important. A book with the proper attitude in Christ will be a bestseller. We can all be proud of a book where we display the attitude and the love of Jesus Christ in our life. I remind you of what your book looks like from the exterior. It's simply 12 chapters and 365 pages. Now, what I will remind you and caution you on is, please do not put off on the next page's day or time or ink. Please do not put on the next page what you can do for the Lord on this page. I also remind you that some books don't have 12 chapters. Some books don't have 365 pages. Today, on the 8th page of our book, I declare to each of you that you will be on good footing as you break bread with Christ Jesus this morning and profess Him as your Lord and Savior. Thus, regardless of your number of chapters, if they are all in the service of Him and they set on a solid foundation, the quantity of the chapters and the number of pages really doesn't matter in our new book. It certainly doesn't meet the criteria for a best-selling book. It is the quality of the chapters. It is the quality of the pages that makes all the difference. I leave you with this final thought. New year, new book. The quality control division of the editing firm in charge of editing and publishing your book entitled Me and God in 2023 will see that that book is printed, regardless of its length. But as the sole proprietor of the quality of the book and its content and how it is received and perceived by your readers, well, that is completely left up to you because God gives you that will. My final question left to you is, as you plan your ninth page, finishing your eighth page today, in chapter one with 11 chapters hopefully to write, I leave you with this question. Will God be proud of your book? Will Jesus declare your book? And will your book be declared by your readers and your associates as a bestseller? It's your decision. You're the editor and the author. Amen.